From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and I'm not here. That's right, I'm officially on vacation today, but don't go anywhere because a few of my colleagues here at WNYC are going to take a turn at the soundcheck microphone. A bit later, David Garland, host of Spinning on Air, will talk with the talented soul singer John Namath, who will also play with the Memphis band The Bow Keys live in our studio. And Kurt Anderson, the host of Studio 360, we'll chat with Carla Bruni, the former First Lady of France and current chanteuse. Her most recent album's called Little French Songs, and Carla will perform one of them in our studio. But first, Anna Sale has joined us a couple of times recently on Soundcheck. Her new WNYC podcast is called Death, Sex, and Money, and it's all about, well, death, sex, and money. And since those topics are well represented in the world of music, the show has already featured musicians like Bill Withers and Jason Isbell with his wife Amanda Shires. Today, for Soundcheck, Anna talks with First Aid Kit, the Swedish indie folk act fronted by two sisters. Here's Anna Sale.
I come from a family of five sisters. We used to sing together and make up songs. I still remember all the words to our rap about Vanna White. But all that faded as we got older. So I get a little twinge of envy when I hear about siblings making music together, like Joanna and Clara Soderberg. The sisters are a little more than 2 years apart and front the band First Aid Kit. In just a minute, I'll talk with Joanna and Clara about their skyrocketing music career and their life on the road together. But first, they're going to play live here in the Soundcheck studio. This is Waitress Song from First Aid Kit's latest album, Stay Gold, performed live on Soundcheck.
All right. Yeah? This Waitress Song.
I could move to a small town and become a waitress. See, my name was Stacy, and I was figuring see my baby, he left me, and I don't feel like it tonight. I remember sleepless nights, I remember Chicago, I remember the music from the downstairs bar. Girls, they just want to have fun, and the rest of us hardly know who we are. It's a dark, twisted road we are on, and we all have to walk it alone.
Drive out to the old
ocean and just stare in awe. I could walk across the beaches and sleep under the stars. Our love would seem trivial and obscure. Now we're never
Anna Sale here in the Soundcheck studio with Joanna and Clara Soderberg, the Swedish sisters who make up the band First Aid Kit. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
Your third studio album is out, Stay Gold. Waitress Song is one of my favorites, and I want to ask you about it because I think the fantasy of moving to a small town and becoming a waitress is something that a lot of people have felt when life becomes overwhelming or unwieldy or sad.
Yeah.
But where did that come from?
We've traveled around a lot the past couple of years.
We've eaten a lot of diners. We've seen a lot of waitresses.
Yeah, we've met a lot of waitresses. I think there's something kind of like romantic. Sarah, I think about just like going away and just leading some like kind of a simple life somewhere, you know? It's like a fantasy and just kind of running away and becoming like anonymous and kind of becoming a new person somewhere else.
How does that relate to just sort of where you both are in your mm-hmm. career right now? There's been sort of an explosion in attention and in demands on your time and things coming at you. I imagine it's a lot to take in.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably, you know, we do write, you know, as therapy for ourselves. So it's probably related to that. And just, you know, we always wanted to do this kind of music and have, you know, decide our own image and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's very important for us. And we're going to keep doing it, even though it's not easy.
All the songs on your album, you both share writing credit. Mm-hmm. So how do you write together?
Well, usually Clara comes up with, like, a line or, you know, she usually starts the songs and then she comes to me and I sort of help her finish them. Yeah. I'm, like, the editor. And Clara's like the creative genius.
No, oh, come on.
No, but like, you know, we help each other out. And
yeah.
It's becoming more and more collaborative. In the beginning, it was like Clara's thing. Like when it started, she wrote the first songs and I asked her if I could join the band.
Yeah.
And she was kind enough to accept me.
I said, all right.
So how does that work in your sister dynamic? You're 23 years old, mm-hmm. Joanna. You're 21.
Yes.
So you were about 2.5 years apart. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're the younger sister and your older sister comes to you and says, can I join your mm-hmm. band?
Yeah. But I mean, we've always been like more like twins than you know, we don't have.
I mean,
roles.
I think in some ways, Joanna is more of the bigger sister because she's like she's more responsible and like but it's really good because I'm kind of all over the place. With sort of my, when I'm writing and stuff, it's just kind of scattered all over the place. And then Joanna sort of picks up all the pieces and sees how it all fits together and makes it into real songs. So it's pretty cool.
When did you start singing together?
We've been singing together since we were like 5 mm-hmm. or something. But harmonizing was like when we discovered folk and country music, like Carter Family and Everly Brothers and all of that, I think we realized how amazing harmonies are, and I started learning it.
In the dark and the troubled side of life, there's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, this sunny side we also may view. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all our way, if we keep on the sunny side of life.
But we didn't think like, oh my God, it's like special because we're siblings, you know. But people told us like, oh, you have this, you know, sibling thing, sister thing. And now I think we realized how cool it is to sing with your sister. It really is special.
Yeah.
And as sisters, how's your relationship changed as you're working together?
Well, I think it just has to. I mean, we kind of know that we have to take breaks from each other, because when you're around someone as much as we are, it's just, it just wouldn't like be possible to be around each other all the time and not get tired of each other. I mean, that's just like, it's just the way it is. But we both know that. I think, like, I don't know. It's like being on tour with anyone when you're like tired, and it's just like you're always gonna be like a little frustrated, and it's easy to like take it out on the person that's closest to you. But we have a I mean, yeah, like we said before, like, I mean, we're like twins, best friends.
I have a lot of sisters, though, and I know with sisters you can be also be really mean to sisters in ways that you can't with other coworkers. So what's when you take time apart, what does that look like?
Well, we don't live together, so we sort of, you know, just don't spend time together. We just do other things, meet other people, and we get to miss each other a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
And how does it work between the two of you? What's the dynamic when you're engaging with the business side of the music industry? Who's like the negotiator? This is I'm drawing the boundaries, member of the band, or do you both do that?
We both do. I mean, we do argue a lot about things, you know, and
yeah, I mean, it's hard. There, I think a lot of people don't realize how many decisions we have to make.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you don't, you know, just go up and play songs. You know, there's a ton of other stuff going on, you know, decisions to make all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, we try to really think things through.
Yeah.
And,
but, you know, if it's like, if something just feels wrong to one of us, it's just like, no, that's not a thing I want to do. You just kind of have to
go with it.
Go with it, accept that. Because it doesn't really, you know, if someone feels uncomfortable about something, you just can't do it.
When it's more about our personality, you know, like being a celebrity or something like that, you know, and not really about the songs and what we do. That's when we kind of draw the line. We don't really do things like that.
I'm Anna Sale, host of WNYC's Death, Sex, and Money, and I'm here in the Soundcheck studio with Joanna and Clara Soderberg, who make up the band First Aid Kit. Their latest album is called Stay Gold. You spent 2 months in Omaha while you were recording this album. What was it like being there?
It was great. It was very cold. It was in November,
freezing.
So it was
November, December.
Yeah, so we didn't really leave the studio that much, but that was good because we could focus on the record.
Yeah, we had a great time. You know, we got to work with Mike Mogis again, who is just incredible and a good friend of ours. And
producer for Bright Eyes.
Yes, exactly. And he produced our last record as well, so it was just fun to come back and kind of like continue where we left it.
And you also sing harmonies on Conor Oberst's new album. What's it like playing on somebody else's album versus the very intimate experience of doing something together as sisters?
Well, I mean, it's different, you know. I mean, singing with anyone else is always going to be harder because we just know each other so well. Our voices are so similar that we don't really have to think about it. But when you're singing with anyone else, you kind of have to really pay attention. So that's, you know, when we were singing on Connor's record, we certainly have to like kind of, you have to listen out more and to listen to the phrasing and stuff. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, we're good friends with Connor, and it was really casual. It was in the same studio as we were, so it was...
So we just like walked over and sang, and it's great.
And what's it like to work alongside him? He was one of your early heroes when you were young teenagers in Sweden, and now you're walking across the studio to sing on his album. What's that like?
Well, it's strange, but like you kind of just have to get used to it, because otherwise you just gonna go crazy. You'll always know that you've been like such a huge fan. I mean, you'll always be a huge fan, but it's has to be different, you know, because then you realize like, oh, they're just Connor.
It's just human beings, Mike, like anyone else.
Yeah.
Woman's at the door, they look clean and handsome. Always have a good sales pitch. Your little sister swears she can beat my aura. With my wife.
I've been joined by the band First Aid Kit, sisters Joanna and Clara Soderberg. Thanks so much for joining us on Soundcheck.
Thanks for having us.
Before they go, Joanna and Clara are going to play us out with one final song. This one's called My Silver Lining from their album Stay Gold.
I don't want to wait anymore. I'm tired of looking for answers. Take me someplace where there's music and there's laughter. I don't know if I'm scared of dying, but I'm scared of living too fast, too slow. Regret, remorse, hold on, oh no, I've gotta go. There's no starting over, no new beginnings. Time races on, you just gotta keep on keeping on. Gotta keep on going, looking straight out on the road. Can't worry about what's behind you, what's coming for you further up the road. Try not to hold on to what is gone. I try to do right what is wrong. I try to keep on keeping on. Yeah, I just keep on keeping on. I hear a voice calling, calling out for me. These shackles I made in an attempt to be free. Be it for reason, be it for love, I won't take the easy road. Ooh. Up in a hotel room, my worries as big as the moon, having no idea who or what or where I am. Something good comes with the bad, a song's never just sad. There's hope, there's a silver line. Show me my silver line. Show me my silver line. I hear a voice calling, calling out for me. The shackles I made in an attempt to be free. Be it for reason, be it for love, I won't take the easy road. I won't take the easy road, easy road, easy road. Oh, I won't take the easy road, easy road. Try to keep on keeping on. Show me my silver lining. I try to keep on keeping on. Show me my silver lining. I try to keep on keeping on. Show me my silver lining. I try to keep on keeping on.
From the Swedish band First Aid Kit, a song called My Silver Lining. Thanks to Anna Sale, host of WNYC's Death, Sex, and Money. You can find out more about her show at deathsexmoney.org. I'm John Schaefer, host of Soundcheck, officially on vacation today. So a couple of my colleagues here at WNYC are helping out and taking turns in the host chair. Up next, David Garland, host of New York Public Radio's Spinning on Air, talks to soul singer John Namath, plus he and the band The Bokies will play live next on Soundcheck.
Cause I love you so. Time will soon, gonna have to let you go.
This is Soundcheck. I'm David Garland. Singer and harmonica player John Namath channels classic R&B and the Stax Records sound on his latest album, Memphis Grease. And there's a good reason it sounds so convincingly vintage. He's got some serious veterans backing him, and they're here in the studio. We're going to hear more about the band in a bit, but let's hear them play. Here's John Namath with the Bokies playing the song If It Ain't Broke, live on Soundcheck.
right from the start. You've grown a little lazy, you wanna trade her in. But the moment she gone, you wanna write back again. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. When you got it good, don't fix it. Don't go looking to fix a good loving if it ain't broke. You fell for him and he could do no wrong. Love you have is lifelong strong. Well, you know the man better than he knows himself. So why you wanna change him into somebody else? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. When you got it good, don't mix it. Don't go looking to fix a good loving if it ain't broke. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. When you got it good, don't mix it. If you take it straight, don't mix it. Don't go looking to fix a good loving if it ain't broke.
John Namath singing here in the WNYC studio with the Bow Keys, featuring Percy Wiggins doing some backup vocals there along with other members of the band. We'll learn more about the Bow Keys and hear about each of them, but Let me be joined here with John Namath and Scott Bomar, who's one of the founding members of the Bow Keys. John, you're from Idaho, and at least one, if not both, of your parents originally from Hungary.
That's correct, yeah.
How'd you find your way to this music and to the Memphis Grease?
I tell you, when I was in high school, I was searching out all sorts of different music. My brother had given me his 8-track collection. He's quite a bit older than me, and his record collection when he left the house.
Did you have an 8-track player at home, or did you have to drive the car to hear those recordings?
No, I had an 8-track player in the house, and there was all sorts of really great music from the 70s that I was listening to at the time, and so I just didn't bond that well with the pop music that was on the radio at the time.
And what time was that?
That was the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm checking out all this old music, which I loved. Old country music, you know, or it wasn't old, that really that old at the time. It was only 70s country music, mm-hmm. 70s rock, and what have you. And then a friend of mine who sat one desk up from me in high school in my algebra class, he was a big music fan too, and he was getting into old music. And we started exchanging mixtapes of stuff. And he started taking guitar lessons, and the guitar teacher gave him some great blues, so he made up a mixtape of blues for me. And when I first heard that, I was just hooked.
Right from the start.
Right from the start, man. I put the connection that you know, those guys in the 70s were listening to these blues guys, you know, from decades before. And so I started listening to all the blues, and then I picked up a Percy Sledge Greatest Hits record, and man, and I got bit by the soul bug, too. You know, it kicked off with When a Man Loves a Woman, and I thought that was one of the coolest things I'd ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of us hear those recordings. We're impressed. We take it to heart, but not all of us can sing it. What was your experience when you first started to try to sing it? Were you singing other kinds of music before you tried to start singing this one?
I was singing everything, really. Uh-huh. You know, I heard if I'd hear a song and I liked it, you know, I'd pick up the words rather quickly, and I'd sing. I was always singing, even when I was a youngster. And so I was just, you know, listening to the stuff in the car, and we were driving around with me and my friends. I had a 1964 Comet, and, you know, I'm listening to all these old records, you know, and my friends, you know, started telling me, he's like, man, you sound like the guy on the records. Mm-hmm. Like, you got a knack for this. And I said, really? And then the guitar player that gave me that mixtape, he started to put a band together, and they needed a singer. And so I offered my services, and then boom, we had a band, did a talent show, and then all of a sudden we were playing the Grubstake Saloon in Horseshoe Bend, Idaho.
I'm speaking with John Namath, and so it all came very naturally. When you heard this sound, you latched onto it with your heart, I guess, as well as your voice, and it just happened, I guess.
Yeah, it was just real natural, you know. I really don't do anything unless it comes naturally.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm kind of one of those guys. And then the harmonica, we need an extra solo instrument in the band. And I'd played some piano, so I went to go price out a keyboard and an amp and all that kind of thing. And I just couldn't afford it. But the harmonica was $6.
And it fits in your pocket.
Fits in my pocket. And I love Junior Wells and I love Little Walter. And so I picked up the harmonica and just ran with it. It was actually a real good fit for me.
Huh. Will we hear you play some harmonica coming up?
You will.
Excellent. All right. John Namath is here with me on Soundcheck, and also Scott Bomar, who has this band, the Bow Keys, that has connected with John. And Scott, when did the band begin?
Around 2005.
Uh-huh.
And we started off, our first gig was backing up a great songwriter named Cermak Rice, who was a in-house staff writer at Stax Records.
Mm.
And our first show was as his backing band.
So being in Memphis probably gives you the opportunity to connect with some fantastically talented veterans.
It's such amazing history there and such amazing great players who are still there. And I couldn't. It's just a great environment to be a musician in.
Mm. Can you introduce us to the band?
Sure. On keyboards, we have Archie Turner. Tenor saxophone is Art Edmonston. Trumpet, Mark Franklin. Background vocals, Percy Wiggins. Guitar, Joe Restivo. And on drums, we have Earl Lowe. And I'm Scott Bomar on bass.
All right. The Bow Keys is the band, and we're going to hear them play some more. And John, you're going to sing and play harmonica on this one?
That's correct.
All right. It's called Her Good Lovin'.
Like a Mississippi river rolling all night long. Loving that gal ought to be a crime. Every time we're apart, my body doing time. She the only woman this world I'll ever need. Got the rhythm from her head to her feet. Her good love can't be beat. She got the rhythm from her head to her feet. Her good love can't be beat. That little girl got it in her blood. Built like a brick from the Mississippi mud. Off the block. When the girl gets rolling, she just can't stop. She the only woman this world I'll ever need. She got the rhythm from her head to her feet. Her good love can't be beat. She got rhythm from her head to her feet. Her good love can't be beat. Her good love early in the morning. Her good love late in the evening. Her good love feels so good. Her good love like the man said it would. Her good love got to have it. Her good love can't live without it. Her good love, have mercy. Her good love, hey, hey, hey! That little girl got me all day. Calling in delivery, going through my pay. She got me dizzy, going out of my head. I should be working now, but I'm home in bed. Got the rhythm from her head to her feet. Her good love can't be beat. She got the rhythm from her head to her feet. Her good love can't be beat.
performance in the studio here on Soundcheck. That is John Namath singing and playing the harmonica with the Bow Keys, featuring Percy Wiggins doing the backup vocals. We heard Her Good Lovin', and now we're going to hear another song, Testify My Love.
I will testify my love. I will testify my love, 'cause I need her. And gentlemen of the jury, y'all may think it's a shame, but I'm here to tell all you, it's all in the name of the game. If loving that woman is a crime, I know that I'm guilty. And if stealing her love is a crime, the good Lord knows I'm guilty. But if giving her what she wants when she wants it is a crime, then I'm guilty.
love on every bone in a frame is a crime. Yes, I'm guilty. So before you sentence me to a life without a love, oh, you got to know, people, it's the same thing that I'm guilty of.
Testify My Love, performed in the WNYC studio here on Soundcheck by John Namath with the Bow Keys, featuring Percy Wiggins. They have a new album called Memphis Grease. John Namath with the Bow Keys. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you.
Thanks to David Garland, host of New York Public Radio's Spinning on Air. You can catch his show at 8 p.m. on Sundays here at 93.9 FM WNYC. I'm John Schaefer, the regular host of Soundcheck, though I'm on vacation today, which is why you're hearing some of my WNYC colleagues filling in. Up next, we'll listen back to when Studio 360's Kurt Anderson guest-hosted Soundcheck last year and spoke with the French actress, model, and former First Lady, Carla Bruni. That's coming up next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Again, I'm on vacation today. Not here. Instead, you're hearing some of my fellow WNYC hosts helping out. Kurt Anderson of Studio 360 filled in for me on Soundcheck last year, and while he was here, he talked with the actress, model, musician, and former First Lady of France, Carla Bruni. Now, if you've been following the news lately, you might have seen that Carla Bruni's husband, Nicolas Sarkozy, is in some hot water over corruption charges having to do with his 2007 election campaign. But even while her husband was president, Carla Bruni largely stayed out of the political spotlight, and she released her latest album soon after her husband's presidency ended in 2012. And when he spoke with her on Soundcheck last summer, Kurt Anderson started out the conversation by asking Carla Bruni about her husband, Nicolas Sarkozy, and how his rise to the French presidency affected her career.
Did you consciously put your musical career on hold while he was president?
Not really on hold. It was just, yeah, it was on hold. But, it, you know, there was so much work to do. And also there was so much, you know, charity work to do. That was great.
Being First Lady.
Yeah, but it was great because then you can help people. You know, it's a different position. So, and also it was very fast because it was only 5 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, at our age, for us, you.
Yes. As we know. And you, while you were First Lady, you acted in Woody Allen's film, Midnight in Paris.
A very small part.
But a lovely part. And was I wondered at the time, was that your effort to show, I'm not just the First Lady of France?
Yeah, well, the thing is that he asked me to play in his movie, so I really like his work, you know, and so I couldn't refuse, and the movie was then, you know, so I said to myself, well, I'm not going to miss a chance, even though I'm not an actress, you know, he's not going to ask me, you know, many times.
He used you well.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. It was a real pleasure to try to be an actress for a few days.
And on this album, naturally, given that your husband has been president, he's still a political figure, you were First Lady, people looking for political meaning and import and connections in the songs. Were there any consciously?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah?
No. Le
Pingouin, everybody says, oh, that's Hollande. No?
No. You know, a song belongs to the one who listens
yeah.
to it.
Yeah. It seems, though, that you don't consider yourself a particularly political person.
Oh, I'm not political at all.
Yeah.
No. As I told you, you know, as I just told you, those years were great because you can do all this charity work and help the other people. That I really like.
Right.
But I don't think I'd be good in politicals. You know, it's a job.
Yeah, but it's a performative job
it
dealing
is.
With the public, and that's what you've done for a long time.
I can deal with the image, you know, related to politics, but certainly not with the real.
Yeah, the backroom fighting
you
and
know,
all that. Yeah.
And also decisions, responsibilities. I don't have any gift for that. No skill.
Then you're well out of it. The song you're going to start us off with is in French. It's Chez
Keith et Anita.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what it is. And
you know, it's
I think
song.
I know who Keith and
yeah,
Anita
Keith
are.
Yeah, Keith and Anita is actually, of course, I'm not really talking about them. You know?
Not Keith Richards and Anita
yeah,
Pallenberg?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not really talking precisely or personally about Keith Richards and Anita Pallenberg. I was talking about this house in the south of France called Nalcote, where was recorded a record and was shot a reportage by this French photographer called Dominique Tarlet.
This is where
this
Exile
is
on Main Street yeah, exactly. was shot.
The album was Exile on Main Street.
Yeah.
And the reportage seems to be absolutely incredible. There was many people, not only the Stones, just people hanging out there. And, you know, that time of the history, you know, after the 60s, beginning of the 70s, everything seems to be so free and so relaxed and so cool.
Yes.
And you know, nothing ever is like this anymore, right? So I was bored.
Well, probably it wasn't that way then either,
I'm sure.
Only in retrospect.
I'm sure. That's what the Woody Allen film says.
Yeah.
You know, it says that past always looks nice, nicer, but maybe it's an illusion.
So you weren't there as a teenage girl? Or,
yeah, no, never. I was never there because I was just newborn, you know, when at the time of the facts. But it's more of a song like, no matter where you are, you can be in the street, you can be in the metro, you can be stuck somewhere, you can be doing a job that you don't like so much, but you can dream on. It's a song about a dreamer, really, which, of course, I am. I'm a complete daydreamer. And so instead of being stuck somewhere where you don't like it, you can just go to Keith and Anita. That's what the song says.
Well, let's hear the song. This is Carla Bruni, accompanied by her guitarist, Taoufik Farah. The song is Chez Keith and Anita, live here on Soundcheck.
Dans les bagnoles, au Batignolles, à Istanbul, avenue du Roule, sur un atoll ou dans la foule, on est là où l'on peut. À Notre-Dame, au bord du drame, à Macao, à Birmingham, dans un bistrot ou sous un tram, on est là où l'on peut. Moi je ne suis pas là, non, je suis chez Keith et Anita, c'est le petit matin. Mais on n'est pas couché, ma foi. Quelqu'un se roule la joint. Oh non, merci, je ne fume pas. Quelqu'un joue du Chopin. On est chez Keith et Anita. Quelqu'un joue du Chopin. On est chez Keith et Anita. Dans une poubelle, le nez au ciel, dans un hôtel, au Sofitel, à Singapour, à Bruxelles, dans un tunnel, mais sous tutelle, au petit jour, au grand carrefour, on est là où l'on peut. Au fond du trou, à l'aube blême, au rendez-vous, à la traîne, à Malibu, à Valenciennes, à Katmandou, à Saint-Étienne, dans les verrous, ou à la Madeleine, on est là où l'on peut. Mais moi je ne suis pas là, non, 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 je suis chez Keith et Anita, c'est la fin de l'été, mais il fait encore doux, ma foi, quelqu'un boit du rosé, et quelqu'un joue de l'harmonica, qui fait bon d'exister. Ici chez Keith et Anita, qui fait bon d'exister. Ici chez Keith et Anita. Politique en place publique à l'aventure, dans l'Antarctique à l'âge tendre, au canonique au bord du Gange, à Dubrovnik sous les louanges, couvert de fange, on est là où l'on peut. Au fond du trou, à l'aube blême, au rendez-vous, à la traîne, à Malibu, à Valenciennes, à Katmandou, à Saint-Étienne sous les verrous, ou à la Madeleine, on est là où l'on peut. moi je ne suis pas là. Non, 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 je suis chez Keith et Anita. Ici tout est tranquille, il n'y a pas l'ombre d'un fracas. Marianne sent la vanille, toute de velours et de soie, comme la vie scintille. Ici chez Keith et Anita, comme la vie scintille. Ici chez Keith et Anita. C'était l'été 70, je ne savais rien de tout ça. Et pourtant j'arrivais chez Keith, chez Keith et Anita. C'était l'été 70, je ne savais rien de tout ça. Et pourtant j'arrivais chez Keith, chez Keith et Anita.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Kurt Anderson, and that was Carla Bruni performing her song Chez Keith and Anita off her new album Little French Songs. Is your style of singing modeled on any particular person, singer of the past?
Oh, many people. You know, well, a lot of Italian female singers like Ornella Vanoni, also Brazilian female singers like Elis Regina. But apart from that, there's plenty of voices that I really like that I can't identify to. You know, I love Nina Simone, I love Billie Holiday, I love Dolly Parton, I love Emmylou Harris, I love, you know, I love Bessie Smith, I love Marianne Faithfull, I love Françoise Hardy, I love Barbara, I love Mina. You know, it's hard for me to choose because there's so many people I listened to when I was a kid.
Right.
And just dream about their voice and about, you know, singing myself one day. Of course, I don't compare myself to
right,
these people,
right.
But they've been, you know, such an inspiration for me. And it took me a while to, you know, to manage to go and sing. But now I really, I still listen a lot to all this inspiration.
And naturally, because you're who you are, you've lived in France for most of your life. People think, oh, she's a chanson. This is what she is. That's the tradition she's in. Do you think of yourself being in that musical tradition?
Yeah. Well, you know, writing in French and then writing the music for French lyrics puts you in a chanson. You know, because of course, you know, it's not very modern. You know, my music is very sort of like folk music. You know, simple. And yeah, I guess, you know, when you write in French, that what makes it chanson, you know, chanson française, because French is not such an easy language to write. And especially,
why is that?
Well, it's very rich to write, but it's not a very easy language to sing.
Uh-huh.
Because it's English has a lot of rhythm, Italian has a lot of vocality, you
uh-huh.
know, it has, you know, Italian, you seem like you're singing when you're reading the menu, and English has a lot of, you know, really, it has beat and rhythm, and it carries you with his beat. What French is not very musical. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not always on the same tune. Bah, 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 bah.
Well, in that song in particular that you just sang,
yeah.
you stick
yeah.
a lot of words.
I stick it. A lot of words, yeah, because the good point with French is that there is very rich to describe. You know, it has a lot of description, yeah.
In the title song off this record, Little French Song, singular, you mentioned some of the great famous French singers like
yeah.
Serge Gainsbourg and Edith Piaf and
yeah.
Jacques Brel.
Aznavour, Reggiani, Johnny Holiday.
Those are obviously all big figures that everybody knows, but it doesn't sound like those are specifically your inspirations or models.
Not really. They're like more, they're mixed. Some of them are my inspiration and the other are just part of our, you know, French cultural, you know.
Patrimony?
Yeah, patrimoine.
See, we can speak in two languages.
In Britain, yeah.
It has been a pleasure meeting you and talking to you. Thank you so
Thanks
very,
for
very
me
much.
Too, Kurt. Very much. Thanks for letting us play. It's wonderful. Et quand on ne sait plus where to belong, try for a little French song. French song will take you to Paris.
Toupie galou, Lily Saint-Louis. French song guard dancing sous la pluie. De Bastille aux Tuileries. Because we have de quoi frimer. We have Brassens, Brel and Fevre. We have Boris, Vian, Barbara. Gainsbourg, Trenet, Prévert, Cosma. Because we have de quoi choisir. We have Aznavour, Jenny, Bico, Nougaro, Moustaki, Edith, Piaf, Glock, Lorraine. Jenny. Oui, 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 bien sûr, ce n'est pas Duke Ellington.
Thanks to Kurt Anderson, host of Studio 360, for that conversation with Carla Bruni. You can hear an even longer version and a couple more live performances from her at soundcheck.org. And thanks again to my WNYC colleagues Anna Sale and David Garland for taking turns filling in for me while I'm on vacation today. That does it for today's show. Remember, you can explore our archives of live performances and interviews on soundcheck.org. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Soundcheck to get the latest updates about live webcasts, music news, and more. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, and Jason Isaac. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, and Mike Katziff with Amy Pearl. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.